22. Stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O God, be merciful to me. Be merciful to me. And what time I am afraid, I put my trust in thee. 1, 2, and 3 of 152. I'm wrong, this. What time I am afraid, I put my trust in thee. And in God I put my trust, I neither doubt nor fear. 152, 1, 2, and 3. I would like to read from the Gospel according to John, and thereof chapter 17. John 17. And we begin with verse 1 to verse 17. John 17, verse 1 to 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. And now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but a son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Let us seek the Lord's countenance. The Lord of heaven and of the earth, thou hast brought us here together in this evening, and the purpose of the evening is known to thee. We hope to have a Bible class and study another portion of the famous book of John Bunyan, The Pilgrim's Progress. And so we have come together, Lord, to listen to what he has written and what it means for us today. Lord, then the first question for all of us is, are we a pilgrim ourselves? Are we a Christian in the true sense of the word? Have we left the city of destruction? And have we entered in through the wicked gate, this narrow gate? And have we learned to walk the way to the celestial, to the heavenly city, to the new Jerusalem? And may we answer that question truthfully, with the light of thy spirit. And if we are no travelers yet on that road, though we may be religious and may be faithful in our church attendance, but if we are stranger of that heart-renewing work of grace, O Lord, rather than make us beggars in this evening, with the publican of old crying to thee, God be merciful to me, the sinner. But if we may know something of it, then we will also recognize some of the trials and dangers and battles that Christian went through and faithful. Lord, may then also this portion be to some instruction, because it is out of real life. It is not a fairy tale, not in something that is made up. It is something that speaks of how the life of thy children is, and where it goes through, and in what trials and what battles they will be involved. Lord, rather than also give that we may listen tonight, and that it may be an instructive evening. Thou knowest those who couldn't come tonight because of sickness or other circumstances. We commend them unto Thee and unto Thy care in the hospital or in nursing homes or because of old age. And yet there are also many sick people in these weeks. And Lord, we ask Thee, will Thou give health again. And may we in this evening also feel Thy sustaining hand. We are not well ourselves either, but will Thou give what is needed to get through it, and that yet it may be a blessing for this one or that one, or even perhaps for our own heart and soul. For we all need the same thing. We are all dependent on Thy grace and on Thy Spirit, and we all need to be taught in the same school and the same lessons, and we all need to follow the same Lord, and we need to be washed in the same blood, and also we need to be delivered by the same Savior. O Lord, wilt Thou grant that in this evening we may have a profitable night, that it may also be in Thy favor, that it may be blessed to the souls, that it may be used also for Thy children, and that above all Thy great and glorious name may be glorified. Lord, help us. Look upon us in Thy beloved Son, in Him who has said that in the world they would have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Remember us so in mercy, and visit us in Thy favor. We ask Thee in Jesus' name only. Amen. We will sing again, and perhaps we have to do a lot of singing because I think I have a touch of the flu. And 234. 234, and let us sing all five stanzas. O Lord, my God, my joyful heart will give Thee praise forevermore. And what follows in all five stanzas of 234. Dear friends, we have considered a portion last time about a man who looked so impressive, so tall, and could talk so nicely, and yet in the end it appeared to be just a talker. Talkative was his name. And when Faithful asked him some very penetrating questions, and when it came a little bit too close to him, then he left and he said goodbye. He couldn't find any pleasure in continuing the journey with Pilgrim, with Christian and Faithful. So now this evening we see them both going together in the way through a wilderness and hot desert. There's not much to see on the road. It is with, we could say in truth, a wilderness journey. But still it is not the worst part of their journey. If Faithful and Christian can talk together about the ways of the Lord, and then sometimes you forget where you are. Do you have that too? Sometimes there were times that God's people were together, and I read it in some writings of older ministers, and then sometimes they stay together till 4 o'clock in the morning, and then some had to go right back to the farm to milk the cows, so to say. And so there were times they forgot the time. Then it was not too late and it was not too far. There was a desire to be together. And I think these are not the worst times in the life of God's people. Too bad that we don't find it too much today. I think we live in a time we can be so separate from one another. We can be so on our own. We can do without that fellowship of the saints, and that is not a good sign. If the heart is full, then we need somebody to talk to. And if there is a strong love in the heart to the King of the Church, we like to be with his subjects. And so it was a very pleasant time for them, even if it wasn't wilderness journey. There was still a time that, they had no attacks of the devil and no Apollyon at that time, as was before, you remember that. And then, they're talking together, and then at one point, and Faithful looks back and he sees somebody coming to them. And there comes, you see it on his face, a smile on his face, a joyful smile, because he recognizes that person. It is Evangelist. Evangelist, and we remember from the beginning of the Pilgrim's journey, it was used to show Pilgrim the way to that gate. So he couldn't see that gate, but he saw the light. And so there was the work of the evangelist already in the beginning. And we know that evangelist is a picture of the minister of the gospel, of one who is appointed by the Lord to teach and to instruct also the pilgrims. And that's not just for the beginning. No, this shows that this evangelist is needed also later on in life. That God's children never could come to a time that they say, now I can do it all on my own. I don't need to be taught, to be instructed. I'm so well versed in Scripture now, and I've learned so much from the Lord. No, the Lord, he has given this evangelist again a place also in the further leading of these two. And that we know they got servants, they need that leading themselves too. And otherwise they cannot do anything. They need the Holy Spirit. But you know, then I hear evangelists saying, "Peace be unto thee." And then he asks him a question. He says, "How did you fare? How was it in the time that I didn't see you?" And also, that is a good question to ask each other. And a faithful servant of the Lord will be interested in the spiritual condition of his sheep, and he will also inquire, will ask for it. How is it now? Did you make any progress? Is there something new that you learned? Were there any experiences or any battles or any questions? He will try to be of some help also further. And he will also be longing to see whether the Lord has led further and whether the Lord has given some greater benefits. He is looking for fruits, not only the fruit of conversion, but also the fruit of growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we could say the two get kind of house visitation. Did you get house visitation already this winter? Right? House visitation. And if they asked you, how did you fare? How was it with you the past season? The word has been preached and the seed has been sown. And much labor has been performed, visiting ministers, elders, also reading sermons, and many ways. What was now the fruit? What was then your answer? And where there is life, there is also, there is experience. It is not like a dead flower that's the same every day, an artificial flower. It may look bright, but it doesn't grow. It stands there after 10 years exactly the same shape because it is dead. It is not alive. It's imitation. And there are such flowers amongst the professors of grace, but they're always the same. They are dead. But now a living flower may have times that it withers, but times that it flourishes. And so he comes to ask a question. And then they tell him what has taken place, what they have experienced on the way. Speak about the Apollyon and speak about the trials and the battles they had, but also how they overcame, how the Lord gave them so far the victory. That is very encouraging. And then he says, be now firm also when you continue, because you will have more battles to fight. This is not yet the end. There will be other and different enemies. And you need to have your face set as a stone. It's a flint, as a stone. Very strong. You have to be steadfast and unmovable. And not in our own strength, but he means that we should not give in and waver, but that there should be a firm resolution also in our continuing of the way, and then looking up to the Lord for his help and for his grace. And then he also gives them an encouragement. He says, the Lord is with you. All power in heaven and on earth is on your side. But go in the way that he sets before you. And sure, you will have tribulation. We read that Paul, when he visited the young churches in Acts 14, then he said he encouraged them and he confirmed them in the faith, but he also said that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So that is the way. Through much tribulation. The Lord Jesus himself said, in the world ye will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. But then he also gives them an encouragement, and he says, like we read in Revelation 2 verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and he says something is waiting for you then. At the end of the battle, at the end of the journey, something is waiting. I will give thee a crown of life. And so then they continue. And soon they come at the end of the desert, and there is a city. A city. That's a change, at least, of that barren wilderness. There is a city, and when they come close to that city, the name of the city is Vanity. That's such an encouraging name, eh? Vanity. What is that vanity? Yeah, that means empty. Something that has no value. Something that is insignificant. Vanity. And yeah, we would say vanity is the name of all that is outside of Christ. That is the name of this world without God, without grace. That is vanity. And they have to go through that city. They cannot avoid it. In that city is a fair. So we call it the Vanity Fair. And that is a fair that is year-round, from January 1st to December 31, all year, and every year again. So it never stops, never a break. There's always the Vanity Fair is there. And that is established, more than Bunyan says, more than 5,000 years ago, in the beginning of his, when Apollyon and Beelzebub and Legion, the devils, when they saw that the way to the celestial city went through that city, they thought we must do something, because those pilgrims on the way to the celestial city, they're all traveling through that city Vanity, and they cannot pass by it. Paul Bunyan says, if somebody would pass by it, then he must go out of the world, because the world is vanity. We have to go through it. We cannot avoid it. We cannot do what the Roman Catholics said. Rome said in the past, if you go to a monastery, then you withdraw from public life, then you withdraw from the world. And there were people who lived in extreme seclusion. Some have lived on pillars for 20, 30 years, and some food was brought to them, and they were reverenced as saints. But, I know when the Lord begins to work in your life, then sometimes you would also like to withdraw from the world. When you have been in church on Sunday, and, there was something for your soul, you could listen, and your heart was tender, and you felt, oh, that was good to be there, then you can be looking up against the Monday, then you have to go back to your job, and all people think like you, and there may be mockers, and there may be people are swearing, and then you're afraid, and you say, I wish I could live in a little cottage there somewhere, in seclusion, nobody with me, maybe then I will become holier too. Because if I will withdraw from the world, then I could live closer to the Lord. And I would not have so many sins. I wouldn't see so much. I wouldn't hear so much. But we know, and the Lord will teach them that sooner or later, when they will go to their cottage, they take their own heart with them. They take their own heart along. And the world is there too. It's not only outside, it's also here inside. So that is not a solution. We cannot pass by that city Vanity. We have a task in this world. We have to go through this world. That is the place where also the pilgrim and where Christian, where faithful is placed. They have to be even the salt of the earth and a light upon a candlestick. They may not try to withdraw completely from the world. They have a place and a task and a calling there. They have to go through that city Vanity. But now there is that fair, And Bunyan has seen that in the city Cambridge. There was a fair for 2 weeks, and that was very officially opened by the mayor of the town, and some very high-placed persons were also present, and then there was a market, and there was a section, there was the English section, and the French section, and the Spanish section. So everything was there. And, yeah, then people had things for sale. At the end of the week, or the 2 weeks, then, yeah, then when they had sold their goods, then there was, yeah, some effort to have joy. There was feasting, there was drinking, there was immorality, there was a lot of wickedness. That is at the end of, yeah, the market of that fair. And he has seen that, and so he may have had it as an example before him when he pictures the pilgrim's journey through Vanity Fair. So when they come closer to that city, then the people already see them coming. And when they enter into that city, then it becomes a little quieter in the street. People are looking at them, and they whisper, say, what kind of people are these two men? You can see these are strangers. I think another one said these are big fools. See how they are dressed? Strange clothing, not like we. You see right away they don't belong to us. And, yeah, not only their clothing, but you hear also their talk. They speak a different language. They don't talk like we. They have another language. And yeah, when they came in the city and they walked by the places where the merchant men were advertising their stuff and wanted to sell it also to them, then they said no, and they didn't show any interest in all what was for sale there. What was there for sale? Well, worldly honor and carnal delight and many other things for the flesh, you know. Honor, pleasure, entertainment, and I would say a place of respect in the world, all that can flatter the flesh. It was all for sale there. But they didn't show any interest. They just seemed to hurry through that city and didn't look to the left and to the right. And when the merchantmen shouted a little louder and tried to draw their attention, they put their hands before their ears and they didn't want to listen. So there was another thing that made them different than the people in the city. Not only their clothing, not only their talking, their language, but also they were not interested in what was for sale there. And soon the people didn't only talk about it, but began to talk together, say, well, what a foolish people are these, and there came a little uproar in the city. And yeah, then the head of the fair, he heard about it. It was reported to him. There are travelers here in that city and in our city, and they are not interested in what we sell, and they cause unrest, really. They make us, uneasy. We never met such people. Vanity Fair. You know, you understand what Bunyan means to say, that those pilgrims are recognized. You recognize them. They are visible. You see it in their, in the Dutch you would say, in their gelaat, in their gewaad, and the praat, three words. You see it in their face, I would say, in their walk, in their talk, and in their apparel, appearance. You see it in everything. And I'm not so sure that is so clear today, but it should. God's children should be evident also in this world in how they, what they talk about. If they also talk about nothing but business and about money, and about where they go with to vacation, and about Florida or California, whatever it is, and their children and their car and their house and all, normal things you would say. But if that is their talk, then they can talk just like a decent worldly person, right? Without swearing, without cursing, but still. But no, the talk of those two was different. They were talking about their way to the celestial city. They were talking about the king. They were talking about evangelists, perhaps, and about the teaching. Yeah, they were talking about spiritual matters. And yeah, they were not interested. Their walk was separate from all what was going on in that vanity fair. There was drinking. All kind of wickedness, there was cursing and swearing, there was pleasure, but they were separate from it. And yeah, we cannot withdraw out of the world, we may not, but is it evident in our life that we are but strangers, pilgrims here below, that our heart is not in the world, that our heart is not on what the world offers, honor and pleasure, that we seek another honor and another pleasure, another delight, that we seek the fellowship of the King. And yeah, the apparel, oh, I know, that may be different from the one country and to the other country, and it doesn't mean that there is any special prescription of so, yet, but simplicity and decency, and not try to adorn yourself and impress others with your clothing, but realizing, that you are a sinner will be visible, evident in how you dress, how you're clothed. And then there is a lot of clothing today that you will not be able to get along with. I'm sure about it. And I hope we all see that. So they must be separate. That must be evident in their talk and in their walk, that they are not of that city, they are strangers. But what it also causes a reaction, that the people begin to talk about it, say that there are strange people there. I don't know what kind of people are these. And some may be curious, and others may be anxious to know, and others begin to laugh, and then third one begins to mock, and others say these people are born 200 years too late, and others said, well, they are hypocrites and whatever, but they will begin to react, and that happens also in that city. And yeah, then we soon see that there is not only a crowd begins to be a little bit unruly, but is reported to the head of the fair. And then they are taken in custody and questioned. And they asked him, but where do you come from? Where are you going? And he said, we are on our way to the heavenly Jerusalem. And the examiners who talk to them begin to beat them and smear them with mud. That's what the world does in the church. I know we don't live like many also today live in countries where we are openly persecuted. We are not living like they live in China today and in some Islam countries. And it doesn't happen what happened in India some weeks ago. And also not what has happened a lot in Russia. You know, I was reading today, a mother had a son in the army. She was a member of a little Baptist church in southern part of Russia. And one day she got a report, your son is killed, accident. And so she got a coffin home and was sealed. So they said, bury him soon, there's no delay. And don't break the seal, but let it happen soon. And so they went to that cemetery, little group of fellow believers, 30-40 people, but the mother suddenly insisted, I want to see my boy, I want to have a last look. And yet was not forbidden, but he opened the coffin, and I don't even want to describe how he looked. Mutilated. Horrible. And why? Well, because he stood up for his beliefs, for his faith. He was one who did not adjust and did not, try to hide his beliefs, and he was, the victim of a murder. And many have died in prisons, and still, there is still discrimination, there is still oppression, it is still a sect that is contradicted and pushed to the outskirts of society, so to say. But that happens also here, and even when we don't have open persecution, I think that if we live a life in obedience to the Lord, then it will give reaction, will give talk, and maybe there deep down is some respect for it, but it will often also cause hatred. And you will be smeared. That's happened with a Christian. And then they put him in a cage, both of them, in public spectacle. And the head of the fair laughed at them. But it's wonderful, they don't become angry, those two men. They don't become very upset. They behave so patiently and endure so meekly. They give good to bad and kindness for injuries done. And soon some see that and they begin to rebuke others. Say, now wait a moment, these people are not so bad as... don't you see how quiet they are? Don't you see there is something special in them? How can they endure without becoming angry or without being fearful? How can they be so calm in such a storm of hatred? There is something that with those men that we don't have. And soon, the one begins to quarrel with the other and rebuke others, and there is soon a public disturbance. Some are beginning to take the side of the two men in the cage, and others are very much opposed to them. Then the devil, he is the owner of that city, he's the prince of this world, he has his instruments, as he had also in the days of Bunyan. It was the time of Charles II, and that King Charles II of England, when he came to power, then he began to openly persecute the Puritans and the Covenanters and the people who wanted to serve the Lord according to his word. And then there was also a judge at that time with the name Jeffreys, and he's a third person. He was very knowledgeable, but he behaved as a fool. The nights he spent with drinking brandy and singing immoral songs, and the days he spent with cursing and swearing and committing all kinds of cruelty and injustice to those, especially to those who belonged to the Puritans and the Covenanters. Oh, then he abused and misused them. And a woman was beaten in such a way that she was stripped from clothes. And they said, well, make her not feel the cold, but scourge her. And then he was laughing. So that head of the fair is maybe, someone that Bunyan himself has experienced. A lot of those things he took out of his own life experience. He has experienced the mockery, the cruelty. He has been in prison himself for 12 years of his life. And he has seen also the hatred of those who did wanted to silence him, but could not, even when he was in prison. So he describes that in that yeah, they are in chains and they're in that cage. But, yeah, when there is that disturbance in the city, when there are two parties, then the head of the Pharisees says, wait a moment, we must stop that. And we must put them on trial. So an official trial is arranged. They have to come before the judge. The judge's name is Hate Good. It's not such a nice name. Hate Good. Hating of all that is good. That is his name. And he asked first, is there anyone who has any accusations against these men? And there are especially three who come forward. The one's name is Envy. And the other's name is Superstition. And the other's name is Fame Hungry. Hungry for fame, for honor. And, yeah, the first one, Envy, he says, you know, these men, what they did, they did a lot of harm to our trade. They are undermining our economy, our social life, our wealth and our prosperity, because they have no interest in what we have for sale, and that is discouraging for others, and they put their hands before their ears, just like what we offer is no good. Oh, the world doesn't like it. You can get along with what they offer. Why? Why don't you go to the theater? And why don't you go to the arena? And why don't you go to, see the movies? And why don't you sit before the television? And whatever you may mention. And why don't you want to have a good drink together? And so they accuse and they say, well, they undermine our prosperity. They make people to turn away from our market. And they also cause divisions in this city. They disturb our rest. And you know, they don't like our king. And they speak about another one. These people are disturbers of the peace. And so everyone can bring in his accusations, also Superstition. He says what they are talking about, that's an hateful, hateful doctrine. That's something that's entirely wrong. That's something that's against us. And so after all the accusations have been brought in, the jury is called to sit down. Yeah, you see them, and the names that Mr. Bunyan has given them are very explanatory. They show who they are. The first one is Mr. Blind Man, and the other has the name Mr. Reject Good, and the other's name is Love Lust, and another's name is Live Lose. And another is, difference in worldly people, but they're not all living loose, and they're not all loving lust. Some may be very decent outwardly, but Mr. High Mind, maybe a professor somewhere who thinks that those Christians, with their foolish, outdated beliefs, and where is God? High Mind. And the other, Hate Light. Prefer the darkness. And another's name was Mr. Liar. And another's name Mr. Enmity. And another's name Mr. Headstrong. And the next one's name, how's your name? My name is Mr. Cruelty. And your name? I'm Mr. Hold a Grudge. And I think that's the last one, was your name, Mr. Malice. So, now what is your opinion? You have heard the accusations, right? What do you think? And unanimously, they say, this man, faithful, had been talking. He had stood up for the truth. And they say he has to be put to death. And soon the case is over. Soon they take him along. And yeah, the first one, first he is stripped from his clothes, then he is scourged, then another begins to buffet him, and next one begins to stone him and slash him with knives, and another pieces him with swords, and yeah, then they bring him to the stake, and there he is bound to the stake. The fire is kindled, and soon he is buried. Poor faithful, is that your end? Now then we read that Bunyan writes in A Pilgrim's Progress that was waiting already, a chariot, horses, and there they come, and they carry faithful in the shortest way, he says, in the shortest way to the celestial city, all faithful may come home. And what about Christian? Christian, yeah, is now alone, but the Lord will give him another friend. Oh, he doesn't die. It is not yet his time. The Lord has some other preparations yet for him, preparations for the inheritance, preparations for the time that he may also enter into Emmanuel's land. He is not yet ripe, we would say, for that time. He has to continue his journey, the journey of the pilgrim. But here we see how the world hates the church. Now the Lord Jesus has said, and we read it, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. God's people have to go through this life, have to go through this world. They have to work wherever they are placed. They have their calling in this life, in society, in family, not just in the church, but they also need to be kept. And there is one at the right hand of the Father who prays for Peter when he would deny his master. Prays for that people that is prone to halt and stumble. And he prays them, Father, thine they were, but thou gavest them me. Keep them in my name. And he also prays, Father, I want them to be with me where I am. And that prayer is answered for faithful. It will also be answered one day for Christian himself. So far this portion, let us first sing. And then there are perhaps a few questions yet, and we'll try to answer them. 388. 388. And we sing all five stanzas. To thee, O Lord, I humbly cry, to thee my supplication make. And what follows in all five stanzas of 388. I have two questions. And the questions really do not refer to Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Some use the opportunity to ask some more questions about what they have heard on Sunday. And as long as I have time for that, I can try to answer them. But first of all, questions about the topic. But then this, you often say that God's people long to hear the words, "I am thy salvation." Are these the only words that say this, or will the words, "It is I, be not afraid," mean the same thing? When I say that God's people long to hear the word, "I am thy salvation," then it does not mean that it should be literally those words. The Lord can say the same matter in different words, always from his words, not just a vision or light or something that, you know, that is not in the Bible. The Lord speaks through his word and spirit. So that is the condition. It must be scriptural. It must be his word. And yeah, then the Lord can also say something like, "It is I, be not afraid." As somebody comes over the waves of our troubles and we don't see him, and we go forward and we do not perceive him, or backward and we cannot discover him, then the Lord can suddenly make himself known and say, "It is I, be not afraid." And if he says, "Be not afraid," then your fear is gone. If the Lord speaks, then there is power in his speaking. Then at that moment you don't say, "Is this the Lord speaking?" There is majesty. The sheep, they recognize the voice of the shepherd. If the shepherd is speaking, they don't say, "Is that now the Lord or is that the devil?" No, that may be later on that they begin to doubt again, that they begin to question, and it can be quite soon after. But at that moment, and the Lord really speaks with power, they know, "This is the voice of my beloved," even if they would not dare to use those words. Then Sunday afternoon you said we should never ask the Lord to go along with us. Is it then wrong to ask in our prayers, "Please go with us on the unsaved roads"? No. No. But what I mean is this. There are two ways. The way that I choose and want to go, there is the way that the Lord wants me to go. Now, if I have to go to my work, or I have to visit somebody, or I have to travel to preach somewhere, in my case, and you for business or what's up, then you say, "That is, yeah, I have to be there. That is my calling." So that is the way that, yeah, the Lord in his providence has laid out for you. That's not going your own way. That is not when you then ask, "Lord, please go with us on the unsaved roads." You are not asking that the Lord goes along with you. What I mean with that expression is, sometimes we want to do something, and yeah, we are not sure whether it is right or wrong, but we definitely want it. We long for it. It may be, for instance, no, let me put it this way: you graduate from school, and you get a few jobs offered to you, and one has gives a high salary, high paid job, and that is one disadvantage. It is quite far from church. Maybe too far. Maybe you can make it once a Sunday, or maybe not even. Children cannot go to school. And you say, "Well, what you say, that job is I like that, eh?" And yeah, But you know, yeah, if the Lord doesn't give his blessing, then it would not be right. So you begin to reason maybe your objections away. You can still listen to tape on Sunday, and I can still go maybe once in a while, and yeah, and it is, yeah, necessary for my family. And then you bow your knees and say, Lord, please, will thou go with me? May it be well. May it be, oh, please, Lord. That is what I mean with trying to get the Lord along with your own choice. There's a choice that's made without God. There's a choice that you have made by your reasoning or by your desires of your heart. Maybe very understandable, because, yeah, the job is nice, perhaps, and the money is good. But then the Lord never goes along with us. That means the Lord never follows us. If it is well, we, and that is the Lord Jesus' own word, must learn to first deny ourselves. So it is not asking what I will, but what is most to God's honor, what is his will, what is also to the benefit of others. Deny myself, take up my cross, so it may not be so pleasant for my flesh, and follow him. And if that is the case, then we may ask, Lord, give me then also strength and a blessing and what I need also for daily life. But then we must go the way that the Lord, points out for us. And if it is right in our life, then we don't want to go our own way. But we still have a tricky heart. You know, I know that, for instance, I don't know whether I should say that, but, yeah, when I was in Franklin Lakes and then there was at one point a call from some place, and that elder also talked to me how I was needed there, and I preached there with much opening and with delight a couple times, and every time seemed to be quite easy, and my heart, really, I felt a certain drawing to it. Yeah. Now, if I would have said, that's what I want, and then I accepted and I asked the Lord, please go with me, then I must say the Lord would never go along with me. I must follow him. And that is often not the way that your flesh desires. That's often not the way that your human reasoning would point out. But that's the way. When the Lord called Moses, first when he was younger, then he was ready to be God's servant and to be instrumental in delivering his people. But when the Lord called him, then he didn't want it. He couldn't. He didn't dare to do it, but he didn't want to do it either, so he had many objections. And the Lord conquered him. He prevailed in his life. He made him willing to follow him. Now, that is now just the opposite of asking the Lord to go along with us. If we say, that's what I want, ask the Lord to go with me, then I say, no, we should never do that. The Lord doesn't do that. He doesn't follow us. But we may certainly ask for protection also when we go home. We may ask for, what we need in this life. And let us also think of the men in the army who are now, maybe flying over Europe and over Yugoslavia. And, we are in war, right? We are involved in the war. I remember some years ago, then we were in Franco Lakes, there was the Gulf War. Around Spans was Justin Clifton, and he announced it, which is just public before we entered into church. And yeah, you feel that. What will this bring? What will the result be? I remember when I was in the army, in the Netherlands, you had to go in the army. And then there was the Cuba crisis. And I was pretty close to a world fire. The situation was different than it is now, today. Then Russia and Soviet Union was was a world power. And we should still maybe not underestimate their power, but that has changed. But then was so close to, in war, world wars, to remember that the captain or the lieutenant, he said, when we were on Axis side, now do your best, soon it may be reality. Hey? Now, and let us think also of those who have to do very dangerous jobs, and let us also think about those who are in need of God's protection. We on the road, they in the army, and our children when they study in school and in college, they need protection too. Other dangers. Without the Lord's keeping, we go lost. We halt and stumble. And also that pilgrim, the Lord would not have kept him in that city. He would have given in. He would have trembled. He would have denied his master, perhaps. But the Lord, he keeps those who trust in him, but are requires him a praying life. And we often talk about it, dear friends. May the Lord give us such a life that we need him from step to step, that without him we cannot do anything. Yugoslavia is close to Bulgaria, where I was. I think of that woman that I met. And, who needed, I told you perhaps, but who needed the Lord for her medical treatment. The doctors worked against her. And as soon as she, became a Christian, which she wasn't 7 years ago, but also in God's providence, she came into contact with the Word of God, and the Lord used that to bring her to church, and then they worked against her, and she was in kidney dialysis, so that was really, and she was in a dangerous condition. 7 people in her room, but as soon the doctors found out that she was going to that despised little church. Those churches are just very small in that world there of atheism and communism, which is very strong there yet. Then she needed to lay there before the Lord. Lord, help me. Incline their hearts. Sometimes she had to take care of her own needles, and she didn't know how to get one. And how she prayed for another needle. And now she said, 7 years later, I'm still alive. All the others in the room are gone already, died. And the Lord preserved my life. But she said, I need him yet for tomorrow again. I need him also for further treatment. I need him in everything. And then she said something that really struck me. She said, and I would not like to be without this life of dependency. I would not like to miss it. How is that with you, friend? Let us sing. Closing Psalter 248, 4, 5, and 6. To me, a wonder that I can stand here today, not talking about myself, but was crying all day, and could sometimes hardly read what I had to prepare a little bit, but when you stand here, the Lord still gives that. You may speak, and may the Lord bless it. 248, 4, 5, and 6. Thou shalt beneath his wings abide, and safe within his care confide. And what follows in 5, 4, 5, and 6 of 248. Thank you. shall we close. Lord of heaven and of the earth, thou who art the great creator, but also the preserver of all what is alive, of all what lives. And if thou withdrawest thine hand, then we cannot live anymore. All we ask thee, Lord, may we realize our dependency upon thee in everything. And will thou give us that dependent life upon thee, that we might need thee and acknowledge thee in all our ways, then thou wilt direct our paths. May we commend unto thee, Lord, those men who are in danger and also of our country, where a war has begun and where we don't know what the end will be. But may we ask thee, Lord, O thou watch over them and others, and may in a right way, in a way of righteousness, justice, may peace be established. But all, there will never be peace in this world, peace on earth, without bowing before the King of Kings. And we may be afraid that we are going to a time that, though we are growing to one world government, and it may be that there outwardly may be peace, but will be the peace in which there will be no place for those who are like pilgrim, Christian, and like faithful. They will come into the cage, they will be abused, they will be persecuted. Oh Lord, remember thy suffering church, wherever that church may be. Will thou uphold them in the strife? And Lord, even if we have no open persecution, yet if we will walk according to thy word, in simplicity, in obedience, not in a pharisaical way, not as being better and holier than others, but in humility, in obedience, in the tender fear of thy name, and the world would see it all, then there will also be mockery from this one or that one. Then we will also be outcast, perhaps. But Lord, will thou grant to be faithful, all that we may know something of that life of pilgrim and faithful, who put their hands before their ears, that they don't want to hear the alluring voices in Vanity Fair. Lord, may thou then also give us such a life, afraid of going astray, afraid of sin, and clinging unto thee. Lord, give that life in the fear of thy name. There is so much missing in our days. Also thy children are so conformed to the world, maybe not outwardly, but in our heart. But may thou bring us at the right place again, and give us, Lord, to often have the company of evangelists, and not of men, just of men, but ought to be taught by thee, to be instructed by thee, and then thou usest people for it. Use us too, Lord, in thy hand, for the instruction of thy people, and also for the welfare of our congregation. Bring everyone safely home now. Watch over us. May we ask thee, Lord, also to remember the family in which thou hast given gladness. A little baby girl was born there. May thou give a thankful heart, and will thou bless that family or that little one, with thy grace, look upon us in mercy. May we acknowledge thee that thou hast helped us through. For Jesus' sake alone. Amen.